Blog Talk Radio.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way.
I knew it was just a matter of time before we got back on because, you know, we've had a few instances in the past where we had to, you know, postpone our shows a couple of weeks here, a couple of weeks there. But I knew that when you took on your professorship job, you know, that was going to be a thing, that it was going to be a little bit of more of a time period that we would get back on. But, it's, you know, it's just a matter of time. And no matter how much time it is in between time, when we hook back up, it's like we never missed a step. And we, you know, get right back on into it and try to shed some light on some things and get right back into how we do, you know?
Absolutely. And I have to apologize right now in advance for anyone who hears my dogs, my boxer love I got going on in the background. If you hear my boys barking or lapping up some water or chewing on their food, that's Duke and Zeus. They are joining us live today from Fairfax, Virginia, Derek.
Oh, okay. So you're not in Atlanta right now. You're in Virginia today still, huh?
I'm in Virginia, yeah. You know, I'm blessed, Derek. Let me just say that. I am blessed. I'm back and forth between Atlanta and Virginia now and teaching here in Virginia, you know, pretty much every day except Sunday. And, you know, I get back to Atlanta every couple of weeks. I'm not going this weekend, but I'll be back there next weekend. So on Tuesdays when we do the shows, I will be broadcasting from Virginia, from Fairfax, Virginia.
Well, all right. As long as you're broadcasting from somewhere, we'll be all right.
Yes, broadcasting from somewhere, I will be, that's for sure. That's for sure. And I wanted to let our listeners know, first of all, we are so happy to be back on the air. Derek and I have missed it. I've had separation anxiety as well. And we know that our listeners have as well, because people have been asking us, hey, when are y'all getting back on the air? So we are back. And we are just excited and ecstatic to be here. I want to let you know we also got Monday Morning Glory at 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Monday morning. That will be continued on, and hopefully we'll get the Saturday show back on the air here soon. We're going to do either a Saturday broadcast or a Sunday broadcast, and Derek and I will be on the air every Tuesday at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time for the first couple of weeks. We're just going to do 30 to 45 minutes, Derek, just to get our feet wet and get back in the door. But, you know, hey, we got a lot to cover in that 30 minutes. So let's get started, Derek. So what you want to talk about today?
Well, you know, it's so much that's accumulated since we were last on that we can just start anywhere. And I was just pretty much going to leave it up to you, Dr. Tasha Parker Meredith. And I'm going to elaborate and give my insight on whatever you bring out, and hopefully give the best I can in rebuttaling what you may have to say. And you know, we can just go from there. You know, I'm open to whatever, because there's so much we can talk about that we can just pull something out of here and just go for that. How's that? Whatever you're feeling.
Well, that sounds good. You know what I really want to start talking about today, Derek, is. You know, I posted something on Facebook the other day that I don't think very many people liked, and I didn't get any comments or feedback on it, but I think it's because it's one of those it's tight but it's right kind of things. And I reposted a message or a picture that someone else had posted, and it said, quote, "I wish Black Lives Mattered to Black People," and it, end quote. And it was kind of like a bit facetious on the part of the person who posted it. And I thought, you know what, that would be an interesting topic to talk about on our show. And a lot of people chimed into that person's message and said, hey, I'm going to share this and I'm going to, you know, talk about this. And I said, well, we're going to talk about it, you know, because we've talked about the black on black crime and statistics in the past in our shows, Derek. And, you know, we've also talked about the police officers and the crime and the violence that's done to black individuals. But, you know, I see all these things with Black Lives Matter, All Lives Matter, you know, Different Lives Matter. And, you know, it's very interesting to me that no one is up in arms about the black-on-black crime. And so I just wanted to chat about that for a little bit, Derek. Tell me what your thoughts are on that.
Well, it's such a fraught subject, Tasha, and you and I, you know, once again, have discussed this in the past on some of our segments, and it's a fraught subject when it comes right down to it. You know, we as human beings, period, have a tendency to be very hypocritical in our own races. And I think when you take into context that, you know, we can see things in our own race that we can condone or look at in a way, and maybe don't look at it in the way it should be, and then we act in the opposite way. We kind of like that back to that hashtag Moon Walking World thing. And I agree with what you're saying. You know when you post something and it's kind of like you're calling people out. You know, it's just like when you talk about how people who are very racist, skinhead people who do things, and you post something like that, then you offend white people. You know, you offend a lot of white people because they feel like, well, you know, we ain't all skinheads. Well, it goes both ways, you know. And when you post something in the black sector situation, it's the same thing. So none of us is, you know, as human beings as a whole, are excluded from being ignorant when it comes down to things that we do as a race or in our own particular races. That's not right for mankind, period, in ways that we just don't look at it like that way. We, you know, we can't be hypocritical. And in this instance, with the black-on-black crime, you know, it's got to be a thing that you got to stop and think, well, you know, it is true. I mean, you know, statistics don't lie. You know, we had talked about in one segment where, you know, I can't remember exactly what the numbers were on it, but like something like 8 out of 10 or 9 out of 10 blacks that are killed are usually killed by another black and that kind of thing. I mean,
yeah. This
is something that's tangible. This is something that's a fact, you know, and we can't hide our eyes and feel certain ways about things. And then on the other hand, on the other side of the coin, we're acting crazy and protesting and this and that when it's white on black or when it's officers against blacks or, you know, and don't get me wrong, it happens in every race. I think we're more egocentric in a way in each of our own races when we're hypocritical. So it's just a whole human thing, I think. That's my take on it.
Yeah, and, you know, that's a very interesting take. Thank you for that information, Derek. I wanted to, of course, you know, I like statistics and I like research. So I did a little bit of research on, I wanted to compare, or the article that I looked at compares black on black crime or blacks murdered by blacks versus whites murdered by whites, because it's something that I think it was my mom brought it up on one of the shows that we talked about, and we don't necessarily look at white on white crime. And we can talk about that in a second, but I don't know, you know, why we don't look at that. But interestingly, from 2009 to this data was done, I believe, up to 2014. From 2009 to 2013, the average black-on-black murders were 90 to 91%. Of blacks murdered. So that is about 9 out of 10 people, like you said. Interestingly, the percentage of whites murdered by whites isn't that vastly different, Derek. It's about 83 to 84%. So eight out of 10 whites who are murdered are murdered by white people. So I think that it's not really that big of a difference statistically in black on black crime versus white on white crime. And I wonder why we get up in arms or don't get up in arms about the black on black crime versus the white on white crime. What do you think?
Well, that's pretty interesting, because usually, you know, and I'm not being harsh and stereotypical on any idea, but when you think about it, usually white-on-white deaths and crimes usually partake in, think about it, multiple victims. You know, think about when you have these shootings, you know, a white person killing 9 people, such as it happened in South Carolina. So I think usually when it's black-on-black, there's maybe more of a one-on-one versus when it's white on white, 1 on 3 or more, you know, and it's usually mass type shootings. You know, it's usually someone who snaps and just takes out a whole bunch of people or that kind of thing. So I think that may play a little bit into it, maybe not so much as you would think. But at the same time, you know, there's so many more whites than black. I mean, we're the minority, and you know, crime is everywhere and happens anytime, any place to anyone. But it just so happens that, you know, there's a lot of whites who are killing people. And just like there's a lot of every race killing people. I mean, people are being killed by anybody, regardless of race. But when it comes down to the numbers, you know, think about it. You know, when we have these mass shootings, when it's usually, you know, somebody taking out 10 or more when it's in the whites, you know, versus one-on-one when it's black. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe that's something. I mean, do you understand? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it absolutely makes sense. And I agree with you that there are, you know, when you look at the numbers of individuals killed in each circumstance, it does vary significantly in black-on-black crime versus white-on-white crime. And, of course, I don't have the numbers in front of me to give actual statistics, but, you know, you can turn on the news and look at that. And, you know, you said something that just kind of sparked my interest, Derek, and when you said, you know, looking at, you know, so many people are being murdered or killed in the world today, and it just seems what you sparked in my mind was it just seems like it's so much evil in the world today. It's it's just so much evil, it's so much killing, it's so much, and we'll talk about the plane crash here in a minute, but it's just so many negative things that are transpiring. And some who are Christians who read the Bible would say that the Bible is fulfilling itself. And some would say there's just so much evil in the world. Say, well, maybe God is mad at the world. And I don't know what view, per se, an atheist would have. I'm not an atheist, so I don't know what view an atheist would have on the evil that's taking place today. But it seems to me that there's just so much evil in the world. Now, there are a lot of great things happening, a lot of positive things happening. But what's your take on that, Derek, just the level of evil that exists in the world today?
Wow, you know, that would be that $22 million question if you answered it correctly, Tasha, for anybody. I think in the way I see it in many instances is that, you know, and we like I say, many things we've touched base on in our past segments, and I think that we've come to a time in life where there's a lot of hopelessness and a whole lot of self-hate, a whole lot of people who are callous in believing and feeling what we once did at one point in time of caring and brotherhood and loving each other more so than we do now. And people are just careless and not careless, but more scandalous and more just not even taking into consideration fellow man or fellow woman anymore like it should be and like it used to be at one point, you know. And I think it has a lot to do with that, you know, the stuff going on overseas, the things that we see right here domestically in our own country, you know. People walk by each other and could care less about speaking or saying hi anymore. And you know, there's a loss of brotherhood, sisterhood, whatever you may call it, in general, that's really causing what it is now. You know, and people are people see things and they're kind of, numb to what's really going on, that they feel like, hey, I'll just fit right in and I'll, you know, mm-hmm. So what if it's, and I think it's just a sign of the times and it's just really tragic. And then the loss of faith as well.
Mm-hmm.
People are they're more atheists out there now because they feel like there can't be a God because look what's going on. If there was a God, would this be happening? Would this be happening? So there's a loss of faith. And when you have no faith, and people who don't believe in a higher being, then what's going to stop them from doing the dastardly? That's my take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that's very interesting that you say that, because a couple of weeks ago I started reading a book called Put on the Full Armor, and it's talking about spiritual warfare. And this book, I'm only in the, I think, third or fourth chapter, but it's talking about how, the level of spiritual warfare that goes on in the world that we don't even, like, the average person doesn't even pay attention to or even acknowledge or even have, not necessarily the know-how, but maybe the understanding of spiritual warfare and all of the demonic forces that are going on in the world today. And this is a very interesting book, and now it's really given me a different perspective on how I look at things, because I've always known or looked at spiritual warfare in a way that I know that it exists. But this book is just kind of awakening me to looking at other things. Like it's talking about, for example, the TV shows that are on the level of negativity that is displayed in our TV shows, the things that go on in the government. And, you know, one could easily say, oh, it's a conspiracy theory. But when you break it down, I think from a biblical perspective, and you look at, like this particular book is talking about how Paul, when he writes the letter, when he's talking about in the book of Ephesians, when he writes the letter talking about putting on the full armor of God, he's talking about taking up your forces or taking on evil forces and taking up your shield and your helmet of faith and all of those things. I won't go like deep into it, but, you know, it's talking about all these evil spiritual forces that are around and that are out there. And so now I'm looking at things from a different perspective. And when I look, well, first of all, I don't look at TV. I don't have a TV. And now I'm realizing that's probably one reason why I don't have a TV, because there's so much negativity on TV. But I'm really wondering now, like, is it more than meet the eye? Is there a level of spiritual warfare going on that we are not aware of? And are there higher forces, higher powers at war? What do you think? Or am I just way out there?
Well, no. You know, nowadays you can't doubt anything. You can't really question anything about being one way or another, because this is where we're at. I mean, just like, you know, you had mentioned before, and you said you were going to bring it back up, this plane crash, you know, with it recently, you know, people are still there. I mean, I, you know, haven't really touched base or saw any updated information that I'd heard previous to what I'm saying now, as far as who did it? Why did it happen? And you know, was it a bomb on the plane? Was this? So, you know, anything that happens is questionable, but at the same time, it's not surprised. It's not surprising, and it's not. Yeah. Oh, you know, yeah. Well, like I say, you know, it's a combination of, well, this is just another one of those things, and what we're gonna hear about tomorrow. You know, it's not a big deal anymore, because we hear about this stuff every day going on. And like you say, the spiritual warfare that could vary or you know, be a factor in the good and evil, good versus evil, and you know, bad versus good or whatever, and it's like the tumultuous turmoil of the world at hand, that at any given time anybody can encounter it as being an experience that would take their life, and it just be another statistic, and it'll be, oh well, you know. You know, it's like, well, another 200 people died in a plane crash. Okay, what else is new? What else? What's the next story, you know?
Yeah, and speaking of that, I'm so glad you mentioned that. What I now have a TV, so I don't watch, I don't get to watch the news. I watch my news on CNN maybe, you know, every now and then. I watched CNN a little bit yesterday, and they were talking about the debates, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But what's the deal with this plane crash? There was a Russian plane crash, and it killed, I recall them saying there were about 25 children on board, and there was about 200 people, and they have no idea what happened to this plane.
So far, and like I say, Tasha, since, you know, we haven't been on the air, I have really, really backed off on trying to study up and listen and be current on things, because, you know, I usually would do that to be prepared for when we got on the air and talked about it, to have a little bit of insight as to a knowledge of what we're talking about. But I have really, you know, it's just such a detrimental thing and heart-wrenching thing to do in here every day is something that's going on, and you just, and especially when you hear about these kids, 25 kids. There was this one picture of the two or three year old little girl that I think the mother had took a picture of her 2 year old daughter looking out the window of the airport, looking out the window, and I guess she sent that photo to somebody. And come to find out, the little girl was one of the 25 children who died in this plane crash. Now, that's just heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching as possible. And that's the reason why people aren't watching, and they aren't tuning in. They're just, like, tuning out. because this is stuff that just that will bring you down and make you feel like, you know, what is their hope? You know, like I say, that hopelessness that we have as a human race, that any day we pick up the phone and punch in and see Facebook, what we're seeing, what are we seeing in social media, what are we seeing on TV, what are we seeing on CNN as far as what next? You know, we hear about this, you hear about that, and then it's like I say, I have not even really been paying attention to what it really is. But last I heard was the plane was, they don't know whether it was, you know, shot out of the air, you know, if it was blown up in the air as a bomb itself. As far as I know now, I mean, there might be some updates now, but I haven't listened to it in a couple of days after the fact, because once I saw that picture of the little girl standing there with her hands on the window and glancing out over the area outside the airport, that done it for me, you know.
Yeah.
It really did.
Yeah, and, you know, I did also heard a couple of days ago that ISIS was trying to take credit for, if that's the right choice of words, for the plane crash. They're trying to say that they are responsible for the plane crash, for the plane coming down. Had you heard anything about that?
Yeah, I had. I heard that, and you know, there's another situation there. You know, they're taking credit for something that they probably didn't do, just to boast themselves.
Yeah.
Think about that. You want to take credit? Horrendous like that? That tells you how, that's the hashtag moonwalking world epitome of everything. You want to take credit for something to being the worst thing that a person can possibly do. That tells
right.
you where we're at. That really does.
Yeah, it's sad. It's sad, you know, when you have groups like ISIS, even if they didn't do it, you know, it first of all, it's horrific if they did. It's horrific either way, whether they did it or didn't do it. But to try to gloat about it and say, oh yeah, we did that, we're responsible for that, and to try to take credit for something like that is just flabbergasting. It's just beyond me why that type of evil, again, going back to evil, why that type of evil tries to prevail in the world.
Yeah, it just makes you think of what is at hand, and maybe the people who are saying that this is possibly coming. I mean, we can't go on much longer with things going the way they are. I heard something about that we're, you know, there was something that was said about, I think it was CNN, because that's usually what I keep it on as far as getting my news information, about that there's a possibility of someone doing some cyber stuff and hacking our electricity system. And can you imagine that? If we were hacked and then all of the electricity just went in the nation?
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
We would have, yeah, I heard about that. I'm like, what?
Wow.
And then I'm like, that would just be so. Just think of all the elderly who are on respirators and anything.
Yeah.
People that are in places that are so hot that you have to have air conditioning, and then the rest homes and convalescent homes and that kind of thing. What would really happen? Can you imagine that if someone was able to hack into some type of a system and shut down all electricity? That would
I can't
big.
Imagine that.
Yeah, that's something that is the epitome of mind-boggling. Think about that.
Absolutely. It sounds like a movie, doesn't it, Derek? What movie
yeah.
was that where
well,
they were taking over the White
movies.
House?
Oh,
yeah.
yeah.
That,
there's been a whole bunch
like
of movies that show the end of the world kind of things
yeah.
and apocalyptic situations. But, you know, and that's what I hate, too, is people get ideas from that. You know, we're actually kind of like setting ourselves up when we make these movies, and people out there who are deranged and ignorant and crazy in their own heads, they see the stuff on movies and these games, you know, like these little Game Boy games. And, you know, we're talking about utter violence where kids are playing these games who are blowing other inside the games, or blowing people's heads off. They're doing this. Well, what is wrong with this picture, you know?
Well, again, I go back to that book that I'm reading about spiritual warfare and how, you know, these organizations and how evil is prevailing through various entities, and we don't even acknowledge it, or the average person doesn't even realize it. And so the mind, the mental psyche is being filled with all of these negative things, if you will, with all of this evil. And so what does it make a person want to do? Go out and do more evil or do more good?
Yeah, and I think a lot of people think there's a thin line between the two. And
oh, absolutely.
You know, a person can go and maybe flip a coin in one day and say, okay, I'm going to do good today or I'm going to do bad today. What difference does it make? You know?
Yeah.
It's to that,
you know,
it's that,
speaking
it's
of...
That, that's the psyche. Yeah, it's that psyche now. It's that mentality that people have been led into being that is just so tragic. It's so disheartening, you know?
It absolutely is disheartening. And, you know, excuse me, speaking of that, I want to talk a little bit about, wow, I can't believe it's been 30 minutes already. I want to talk about...
Hey, you know, if we're doing 30 minutes, that's like 10 compared, you know, it's like 20 when we do an hour.
I want to talk about Bill Cosby, speaking of evil, because we've talked about Bill Cosby here on the show and a lot has transpired since we last talked about Bill Cosby. And I saw on CNN.com that Bill Cosby they were trying to get a deposition from him or something. Someone else filed another claim against him alleging defamation because he's saying that he didn't do things and they're saying that he did. But, you know, there were some court records or something that were uncovered where many years ago, one of the claims where he actually admitted to drugging this woman. Had you heard about that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that I did catch that. That was maybe a few weeks ago. I'm not even sure, you know, how we can hardly look back and gauge how much time has passed.
It's been a while, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, basically what it is he had a deposition done, I think, I don't even recall the year. It was supposedly 2005 or 2000. I don't know when it was, but supposedly in that deposition that was a closed file on it that basically came up undone, I guess, so to speak, after the fact of all these women coming out, and they opened it up and they found out that he did, in fact, admit to drugging and buying or having on hand, however he came across having them, you know, I guess some Quaaludes or whatever the case may have been, and was giving these drugs to these women. So he kind of almost admitted it, and this has been in a closed file, I take is what they were saying. And then there was this situation with that all those women, you know, the statute of limitations had like actually ran out where they couldn't proceed to do anything about it, but except one, and it only takes one situation that happened where he in California had did something of the like with a minor, which really he hung himself on that literally because of the fact that, you know, when it comes to the minor in the state of California, is what I'm understanding, is that there is no statute of limitations. So therefore, he can be supposedly brought up on charges for that, and I think they're pursuing that, which may take him down for everybody else. So there you have it.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Wow.
Yeah, that's my judgment. I can be wrong. Don't hold me to that. But that is what I've gathered from the information I last heard about the Bill Cosby situation.
Uh-huh. No, I think you're right. I mean, I believe that that's what I've recently heard as well. And, you know, everything about that whole situation is sad. But what is disappointing is the continued denial from Bill Cosby, his continued denial of having anything to do with any of these women. And now it's coming out that he actually was on tape saying, oh, yeah, well, I did give a date drug or whatever the drug of his drug of choice was called. But it's so disappointing to, you know, all these people came out and were defending him and saying, no, not the Jell-O pudding, man. He couldn't do these things. And now it's coming out, well, yeah, you know, he did do these things. And he is, you know, but for the statute of liberty, he probably would be in prison right now. you know.
Right. Exactly. Well, you know, I think it's, yeah. Well, I think it's kind of human nature in many respects, and then tagged along with ignorance on how we are in denial about somebody can't be this person. Somebody can't be this evil, can't be this kind of guy or girl or woman or however the case may be who would do such a thing. But you can never doubt what a person may do out of character or maybe in character that you didn't know their true character. So you can never deny or think in terms of someone not being the person or being that person. You know what I mean? You never know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You never know.
You never know. You never know what's in a person's psyche. And speaking of psyche and I don't want to say psyche and evil because I don't want to call a man evil, but I will say speaking of psyche and kind of interesting characters, I'll put it like that. That's the PC thing to say. What's up with Donald Trump?
You know, I have totally not even been following that at all. I heard that last I remember hearing about that was that he's not leading any longer in the Republican race. So I know that that was something that I last heard. But I just kind of, like I say, that's another one of those things I pretty much tuned out and just not even worried about that. But I hadn't heard anything. What's your take on what's going on? Because I haven't heard much of anything. Which last you heard?
Well, I watched Don Lemon last night on CNN, and they were talking about this whole thing with the GOP wanting changes to the way that they do the national debates. And the Republicans had, like, this list of demands, if you will, saying that, and would you believe one of the demands was we want it to be 67 degrees or cooler in the room. We don't want lightning round questions, and they basically want a scripted debate. They want to know the questions in advance. They don't want any gotcha kind of questions. And
one of the things
I just think that's very interesting. And one of the things that I appreciate about from Chris Christie, the New Jersey governor who's actually running for, he's a Republican candidate. One of the things that I appreciated that he said was, hey, this, you're running for the president of the United States. That's not a scripted job. So why would you want your debates to be scripted? You've got to be able to answer these questions that the American people have. And I really appreciate his take on that. And, you know, several of the Republicans who are viable candidates have kind of dropped out of this group of people who are making this list of demands. But I just thought it's very interesting, and I think it's very interesting. Donald Trump, as of last night, he was actually second. He's still in second place in the running of candidates for the Republican Party. And guess who's in first place?
Oh yeah,
Ben Carson.
Yeah. Ben Carson. I lost his name there for a minute, but Ben Carson, of course, yeah.
So we can have another black president.
I don't see that happening. I don't, because I mean,
no?
Even in the GOP. Well, here's the thing, you know. I think, and you know me, I'm very candid in my beliefs in ways I can make people mad, but oh well, get over it.
yeah.
I don't see us electing another African-American president back-to-back like that. I'm not saying it'll never happen again, but I don't think it's a thing. You know, I think as great of a job as I feel and as most people do feel, whether they admit it or not, that Obama did, it's just like, you know, the real true racism came out with us having an African-American president. It doesn't matter who it would have been. He would have not done a job. Even if he was a robot and programmed to do everything right, if he was a black robot, he would have still gotten ribbed, and just like Obama did. So I think even with Ben Carson being African-American and Republican, I do not see it happening. I think it's going to be even a worst-case scenario for that, as far as I don't think a lot of people are going to do it because of their racist background and histories and not being able to help what they feel. They really aren't going to do it.
So
it's a sad thing to think of, but it is.
It is taxing, but it's reality. Yeah, how about Hillary? Do you think the United States is ready for a female president?
Now, that in itself is something that looks more probable than another African-American president back-to-back like that. I'm thinking that there's going to be more women probably going in there and voting for her just because she's a woman. You know, think about that. There's that entity, just like with President Obama. There were blacks voting for him just because he was black, which, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that when you take in consideration that entity in itself, I'm thinking that people are going to go to the polls with different things on their minds and you know, different feelings and ways about things, and it's going to be pretty interesting to see the outcome. It really is.
Yeah, it will be very interesting to see the outcome. I think that, again, Ben Carson is in first place. Donald Trump, interestingly, is riding out that second place for the Republican Party, and then there's a pretty wide gap between the next candidates. I think like Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio, and Chris Christie are in the lower percentile of viable candidates. And then for the Democratic candidates, it sounds like Hillary is holding her own. Speaking of candidates, remember to go and vote today in your local polls. We want to encourage individuals to make sure that they go out and vote today. I've got to get registered, so hopefully I can register and vote here because I'm registered actually in Georgia. So make sure you get to the polls today. So,
exactly.
Wow, Derek, our time is up already. Can you believe we talked for, we've been on the air for 40 minutes already?
Yeah. It seems like four, so if you do the math, yeah, that's 40. That equals 40. Right. When it comes to us. You know, our time flies by, Tasha, because we get into our discussion and you know, they say time flies when you're having a good time, and I always have a good time when I'm on with you. You know that.
I always have a good time as well, Derek, and I'm looking forward to our talk, to our time together and our talk this time next week. Again, this is Tuesday Talk with Dr. Tasha Parker Meredith and Derek Shelton. We're on every Tuesday at 12 Eastern Standard Time. Thank you so much. I see all of our callers and listeners out there. We appreciate you joining us. And for those of you who joined us online, if you want to call in and join the conversation next week, dial 714-583-6964, 714-583-6964. You can also listen online at blogtalkradio.com/live-love-laugh. And so, Derek, I'm going to let you take us out with a little bit of comedy or something.
Oh, here you go, trying to get me off the schnizzle here.
Yeah.
Well, I there's so much. I mean, I was thinking that if I was to get back into it and got over my OCD matter, I would have a stand-up comedy act of about 8 hours long of all the material I could have been pulled over the last couple of years, you know. But then I would have to do it in my best Richard Pryor. Well, what in the heck is going on out here? All these people running around here just as crazy as they can be. Holy, what we gonna do here, Margo?
As crazy as they can be. Of course, Richard Pryor would probably have a few more choice words, right?
Oh yeah. You know how we can't do that.
Yeah. This is a clean version of Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
All right, Derek. Well, love to you, baby. Greetings to everyone out there in California. Hopefully, we'll get out there soon and see everybody. But thanks everybody for joining us today. I'm Dr. Tasha Parker Meredith. And we have Derek Shelton on the line with us, and we're going to take us out with a song called Shake Heaven. Hopefully we can shake away some of this evil stuff. We'll see you same time, same place, same channel next week. God bless you.